Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's episode of Financial Lifeguard on Duty. I am your host and financial lifeguard, Christine Lukin. I empower high-earning professionals and small business owners to rescue their financial dignity. Today's episode is Money and Communication in Relationships. Does talking about money cause distress in your relationships? Communication and relationship coach Erica Holston of Vine Life Coaching is our special guest on this episode. She'll be giving us tips to better talk to our significant others about money without fighting. Erica Holston is a certified life coach, workshop facilitator, and wife of almost 6 years. She serves people who want to increase their confidence level, discover their purpose, and become effective communicators. People are receiving lasting change, improved communication skills, both personally and professionally. Her clients have greater confidence, fulfilling relationships, and understand how things work for their lifestyle. Ultimately, Erica wants to see people win, especially in their important relationships. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you, Christine. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. Well, thank you for the invitation to come on live with your audience, and thanks to everyone who is listening to us. What an honor it is to have you today. I would like to go ahead and get started. So my first tip is time management. Time management is so important when it comes to our personal and professional lives, because I know that, you know, we have our careers, kids, sports, family, and friends, and then there's still me time. I find that when I life coach people, they are very challenged in balancing everything, especially when it comes to work-life balance and so forth. So I wanted to encourage all spouses and significant others and people who are in relationships that if you are able to slow down and to understand what's important in your relationship by saying to each other, let's make time for us. Let's make time to look at our personal finances and whatever else is important to you. Let's make time for those very things. It's so important to do that because the two of you matter, and the best way of communicating that is making time for each other. Let's think about, you know, when you guys first got together, things were fresh, things were very new, exciting, and you were able to make time for each other. Then you probably went to the movies, out on a date to a special event and everything, and you really had that quality time together. So if you are able to make that time for each other by saying, hey, on this day, I would like for us to either look at our personal finances, I would like for us just to have us time and to talk with each other. And I just think that time management is so vital for each and every relationship because, again, life can get really busy. And when things get busy, things can become very haywire. And even though life can get busy, it is still possible for us to slow down by making time for each other. Even if it's, you know, you say, let's get together on Thursday between 9 and 9:30. I want to hear all about your day. Or let's get together and let's start budgeting our money because things are getting a little out of control and you want to be on top of those things. So time management is so important. What do you think about that, Christine?
That is. It is. It is. And, you know, we need to make time for the things that are important to us because there are a lot of things that seem urgent or are fun or interesting that can very easily capture our attention. And, you know, a lot of time management gurus talk about, you know, keeping a time log for a couple of days to see where you are spending your time. Because a lot of times we're like, well, I don't have time to do that. But the reality is, you know, we're wasting some time. So we're all wasting some time. And I know you and I talked last night and I told you, hey, you know, at 7:30, I go downstairs and watch TV with my husband. And so after 7:30, you know, my phone stays upstairs. You know, I don't talk to other people. You know, that's our time, is between 7:30 and 9 to hang out together. And we've made that a habit and made that a priority.
Exactly. And that is so important. Letting each other know that we matter and to get rid of those distractions. And that is just so awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
I do the same thing in my marriage and with my husband. When I get home at 5 o'clock, you know, I do all the housework and everything that I need to do, or he does the housework and whatever, you know, we need to do together. And like between 9 and 11 p.m. that's like our time. And it has definitely added more value in our relationship, and it helps us appreciate each other more. So yeah, be encouraged to make time, and like Christine said, make a time log and just say, you know what, let's fit each other in each other's schedules.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So it leads me to my second point, and that is prioritizing is key. Keeping your relationship top priority by communicating with each other. Now, this might seem like a very easy task, but I find that when I life coach my clients, this can be very challenging for spouses as well as couples to talk with each other about certain things. And with your field, you're the financial lifeguard, and it might be challenging, you know, for people to prioritize by saying that, hey, we need to talk about this. And so I just want to encourage everyone here today that no matter what the topic is, it is possible for you to talk about those hard conversations as well as those difficult things that you possibly are pushing under the rug or you are ignoring. It's such a pain point, but there is a liberty when you are able to talk about things, and things can get easier if you are able to open up about that. Did you want to share something, Christine?
I was just laughing because, you know, you were talking about sweeping things under the rug, and that certainly happens in personal finance, where people ignore the issue and they wait until it gets so bad that it just completely blows up. And you really want to start talking about things before they get to that point, whether it's, you know, finances or the kids or whatever the case may be.
Exactly. And I want to make this one point is that, you know, when you are talking with each other and not at each other, the communication will flow more easily. Let me give an example. When people talk at each other, it's basically from a stance, you're going to listen from my perspective. You are going to understand things the way that I want you to. And that's pretty much it. And you just leave your conversation. You can leave your conversation feeling angry and mad because that person, well, your spouse is just like, hey, like, I wasn't able to say what I had wanted to say, and you're just talking at your spouse. But when you talk with your spouse, you know, you're actually, like, listening to each other. You're trying to understand each other. You're giving each other feedback. No one is interrupting the other person as, you know, you guys are talking, and respecting each other when it comes to communication is so vital in order to let each other know that, hey, I value you. And there are four ways to communicate, and those are talking, listening, reading, and writing. And I find that a lot of couples aren't listening to each other. And it is so important to listen to each other. And I go over those things also in my workshops when I have workshops about effective communication. So I just want to encourage you, you know, when you are talk with your spouse. Don't talk at your spouse. When you talk at someone, it's mainly from a one-sided perspective. But when you talk with someone, there is a cohesiveness. You guys are valuing each other. You guys are wanting to understand each other. You guys want to receive each other feedback. And then if you're able to have a goal or some type of strategy, in this case, when it comes to your personal finances, you are able to set a goal, and that might be budgeting or whatever the case may be, but be encouraged to talk with each other and not at each other, because relationships and marriage are about cohesiveness. It's about doing things together and not apart. There has to be some type of level of unity, and what better way to do that by listening to each other, by making sure that your relationship is top priority, and communicating with each other.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I had this discussion about just basic politeness, and that some couples, you know, when they've been married or together for a certain amount of time, that basic politeness goes out the window. And, you know, that's something that my husband and I were very, you know, sticklers about, is just saying please, saying thank you, just that basic politeness and respect to each other. That, you know, sometimes you see couples out in public, and, you know, just the way that they're talking to each other makes you cringe.
Right, definitely. And I would like to add also to you're welcome. You know, it might seem right, it might seem redundant to people, like, why would I say please, thank you, and you're welcome? Showing that appreciation in your relationship to your spouse, significant other, whatever the case may be, showing that appreciation can add value, and it can make that person feel like, hey, my spouse really does appreciate me. And you'll be surprised, like, the things that you could possibly get done, or how your relationship will start to improve, because that's what this is all about, right? This is about effective
Absolutely.
Communication skills. Mm-hmm. And about personal finances. You know, Christine and I are about helping you make your life better, whether if that's personally or professionally. You know, we want to see you to be empowered. We want to see you guys to thrive. And whatever goals that you have for each other, we want to see you to win.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. So my third tip is, so we talked about time management, and then we talked about, you know, communicating with each other and making each other top priority, as well as listening to each other. Now, there is making your own relationship goals. You know what your spouse needs, or maybe not. But if you do, one of the things that I find that a lot of my clients do is procrastinate. You know, well, I'll
yes.
get to that later. Right. I'll get to that later. Or I just, like you said in the beginning, they might not have time for that. But there is an importance to understand that, you know, if you set your own relationship goals in order for your relationship to improve, and again, to add value to each other, like you could possibly make your, you know, spouse like smile more, or, you know, compliment you more, or, you know, to say, you know what, we have our personal, we're able to have our personal finances together because we have a strategy, we have goals, we have plans, and you know what, we are going places. So
yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Well, and the one thing I wanted to bring up is that, you know, each couple is unique, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of times social media makes it very easy for us to compare ourselves to other people, and whether that's, you know, comparing what somebody's relationship looks like or what you think that person's personal finances look like. But it's, for me, it's very important when I'm working with my clients to figure out, you know, what is it, what's really important to them and what are their financial goals that, you know, it's just for them. You know, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, you know, what's important to you. And I know that's what you work on with your clients is, you know, let's not talk about what everybody else is doing. You know, let's talk about creating goals for you in your relationship.
Right, exactly. You know, when I do relationship coaching, you know, there are individual goals that, you know, you have as an individual, and then there is what are your relationship goals, like you said, like what is the cohesive goal that we can do together, you know, and you make some excellent points when you were talking about, you know, your relationship is very unique. What's important to you? Let's not compare ourselves to each other. And that could be very challenging, you know, for some people because, you know, as humans, we are observers and we look at each other. But, you know, if you are able to look on the inside, look what's going on in your own home, then you might be able to pivot and say, you know what, this is what's really important to me. And it can be very challenging for people to say, I don't care what other people think. When it comes to developing, right, when it comes to developing those confidence levels, wow, like you just said, that's like very hard. Do you ever find with your clients, what is like one of their major challenges that's very hard for them to overcome?
You know, and it really depends on, you know, sometimes it's family pressures, sometimes it's the particular, you know, group of friends that they, you know, that they hang out with, where it's like, oh, everybody's kids go to private school, and so we have to send our kids to private school. Or it might just be, you know, our friends go out every Saturday, and we always go out to this place, and, you know, it costs this much when we go here, and, you know, to kind of dial that back and say, is that really serving our long-term goals? You know, not to say that we have to completely stop doing fun things, because obviously that's not what I teach people. But to really look at where you're spending, you know, your time, effort, and energy, and making that decision as to what's important to you, not what everybody else is telling you should be important to you.
Exactly. I can just raise the roof on that one because it is, yeah, I really could because it comes to, you know, I think the root of it has having that confidence is that, you know, we are our relationship. Like, what's important to us? How are we, like you were talking about, your long-term goals and staying on task? How are we going to get there and not let the distractions affect us and not let outsiders, you know, have say in the relationship. So, yeah, be encouraged to, you know, have your own mind and, you know, do what's right for you guys and do what's right, you know, for what's right for your relationship. So, yeah. And so my
last point, one quick thing that I was just going to pop in there is, make sure you take the time to define what those goals are. It's so surprising to me that when I get my clients in the office for the first time, one of the very first things we talk about is, you know, what does your preferred financial future look like? What are the goals that we want to be working towards? And some of the time they've not even sat down to talk about that. And sometimes one of them is surprised that, you know, they want to retire to a particular place or they want to take a trip to Europe. And they're like, well, I didn't even know you wanted to do that. But,
wow.
You know, once you have those goals and you say, okay, you know, we want to retire to, you know, Miami or, you know, we want to take this trip to Europe. When you have that bigger yes, it's easy to say no to those things that aren't supporting that.
Right. Wow. That is so important. With my last workshop that I had, I was talking to them about, like you just mentioned, setting goals. And I find that, you know, some people don't feel that they are worthy to set a goal. And so I, as a life coach and a workshop facilitator, I basically, you know, say that you are valued. You can do this. You know, what is stopping you, you know, from doing this? You know, you are enough. You know, there isn't anything that you can't do. You know, it's specifically mind over matter. And as an encourager and someone who truly wants to listen to my clients as well as other people, you know, you have to, again, like we talked about through this whole podcast, is valuing each other, valuing the relationship, and understanding what's important to each other, because everyone in the relationship matters, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's so vital and key. And it's not about a song and I'm getting ready to, you know, sing a little bit. It's not about me, but it's about we. Let's get a little French in there, okay? So it's about what can we do collaboratively? How can we get there? What are our long-term goals? Like, Christine, you made an excellent point. You know, what are our long-term goals? You know, is that going to Europe? Whatever the case may be, you know, it's about we. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Number four, and I think, you know, you are the expert in this, and you hit it, you hit the hammer on the nail, make your own personal financial goals. Like you were talking about, what is the plan? What is the strategy? And basically, I find it so important to communicate things out loud. You know, we can have our own thoughts and we can make our own decisions, you know, at work and our own individualized outside of home. But when we come together inside of our home, you know, what are we thinking together? And you could pretty much take it from the financial goal piece, because I have little expertise in that. But the only thing that I would just say is that, you know, there has to be a communication and saying things aloud, because, again, you know, you could have your own thought process, but until you communicate aloud to each other, hey, this is what's important to me. Hey, this is what I would like to do, you know, and what does that look like together?
Right. And, you know, talking about money can be an uncomfortable thing, especially if you haven't been doing it on a regular basis.
Right. Exactly.
You know, sometimes you just have to sit with that discomfort. And, you know, I mean, anytime you're doing something new or changing a habit, it's going to be uncomfortable. And especially if you've been sweeping things under the rug on a regular basis, you know, bringing those things back out into the open and talking about them is going to be a little bit uncomfortable, at least at first. You know, and the one thing that I always tell people is, you know, put your energy into the solution and to moving forward rather than blaming each other for the state of your finances.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah. And so do you see with your coaching that there's a lot of discomfort and conflict when that subject of money comes up?
Well, when it comes to when it comes to being uncomfortable, I believe that with my clients, they always think about, you know, the big picture and the bigger goal. They don't think about, you know, what are the small steps that's going to lead up to that. And it's like when they think about, you know, the bigger picture and what's the bigger goal, you know, it can create a certain type of anxiety, and it can make them fearful. But it's like, wait a minute, that is the bigger goal, and you are correct. But what can we do now? What resources do you have now? And in this case, it would be personal finances. What can you do now? I remember when I was listening to a Dave Ramsey podcast where he was talking about, you know, paying off your smaller bills first, and then letting it lead up to the bigger financial goals. You know what I mean? So I understand, you know, the bigger goal, but let's think about, you know, what can we do now? What is most current? What do you feel comfortable with handling in your now?
Right. Yeah, and breaking that down into smaller pieces, and that's, you know, that's exactly what I do with my coaching clients. You know, typically when they leave a coaching session, they've got like 3 or 4 relatively small things that they have to do before we meet again. So it's not like they leave with 20 things that they have to do. Now, there may be 20 things that they have to do over the next 6 months, but, you know, we're breaking it down and saying, okay, here's the first thing you need to do, and then here's the second thing you need to do. Because like you said, if you look at this big picture and you're like, oh my gosh, we've got 10 credit cards that we need to pay off. If you're focused on the 10, that gives you anxiety. But if you just say, all right, let's just pick off the little one, you know, let's put all our energy into paying that one off this month because it's only a couple $100, then that makes things less stressful and that gets you moving in the right direction, which that is important to have the big goals and the little goals underneath of those. So, hey, we've only got about 2 minutes left. So why don't you just give us a little summary of what we've covered, and then I'll wrap us up.
Okay, awesome. Yes, so we just talked about time management, making time by slowing things down. Secondly, we covered prioritizing is key, keeping your relationship top priority by communicating with each other. Also, making your own marriage relationship goals. And then we just talked about making your personal financial goals. And be encouraged that just be encouraged that it is possible for you to go where you would like to go, and you guys can do it together. Just understand that goal setting is so important, and take time and just know that it is possible for you to overcome, and you two together can win together.
Awesome. Well, Erica, thanks again for joining us on the Financial Lifeguard on Duty podcast. Please tell us your website address.
My website address is vinelifecoaching.com, And Christine, I just want to let everybody know on March 31st, I am going to be having a communication skills workshop, how to win people over, and that will be on Eventbrite as well as social media. So if you would like to come out and join us for a workshop on communication skills, how to win people over, I would love to have you.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you, Christine. This was awesome, and I really enjoyed talking